Podcast. I am your host, Derek Caraview, and entering the room today is Hannah Thorpe, who is the Business Director of Found Online and the UK Search Awards Young Search Professional for the year 2017. Today we find out the top answers for Hannah Is on Google, whether or not she has drank liquor straight from the bottle, and her knowledge of London's landmarks. So please sit back, relax, find some place comfortable to be, and enjoy Elevate in the Room with Derek and Hannah. Let's go ahead and get started here. Hannah, take three. why don't you tell the people who you are, what you do?
Hi. Okay. So I am Hannah Thorpe. I am business director at an agency called Found. And really for me, that means just making sure that we're doing the right strategies for the businesses that we work with, whether that's SEO, PPC, programmatic, paid social, the whole works.
Okay. That sounds exciting. And a slightly different title. We'll talk about that in just a moment. In the meantime, let's go ahead and get ready here for our icebreakers. First question. I see that you won the UK Search Awards Young Search Professional of the Year in 2017. What happened this year?
I think I aged significantly since, so I'm definitely much more jaded and probably too jaded to win any awards. But it's been pretty cool having the title for a year. I'm lucky enough that at Found, we also have the European Young Search Professional of the Year. So he's very competitive about that with me.
So does he point out that at least for now, the UK is within Europe. So technically, he is a little bit ahead there.
Yeah, so when I direct strategy on his clients, he does like to inform me that he could be my boss.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Sounds like a healthy work relationship. I like it. What is your favorite mythological animal?
Oh, that's such a hard question. So in a show called The Good Place, there's a mythical animal called a Minotaur, which is basically a minotaur that just looks like you in the top half and insults you continually. And I quite like that it's a mythical creature that's got some sass to it.
So it insults you as you.
Yeah, very meta.
I haven't gotten that far yet into the show, but I'm really looking forward to that. That sounds exciting. If you could hang out with any cartoon character, who would you choose and why?
Probably Garfield. He hates Mondays, so do I. He's as grumpy as me, but he also always has a lot of food, and I'm all for the carbs like he is. So,
all right, so you guys could hang out, get some lasagna.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so speaking of food, what's the grossest food you have ever had to eat to be polite?
Not to be polite, but I think the grossest thing is like leftover Chinese, like toasted into some form of like bagel or sandwich, which is quite frankly one of the best hangover cures I've ever had, but also probably the most disgusting thing I would eat.
Feels like that would look more disgusting than it would actually taste. Like it would actually maybe be okay, but would look so horrifying, just scares you out of your hangover.
Yeah, maybe that's the science behind it.
Could be, yeah. I am a scientist. What show did you binge watch embarrassingly fast?
There's a lot of them. Okay, so this weekend, I embarrassingly binge watched an entire season of The Kardashians. I hadn't really watched it much before, and suddenly I was very engrossed in their lives. It took my flatmate coming and saying that I had a problem and taking the TV remote.
She's doing hero's work right there. Gotta get you away from that, so... What do you think the top answers are for Hannah Is, if I was to type that into Google?
Oh, God. That's a horrible question. I would like to think there's things like Hannah is amazing and Hannah is great. But I've also been told that there's a DJ called Hannah Wants. And our recruitment agency like to mock me with that one anytime I ask for something. They like to just play the songs back to me.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you, so I did this earlier, I did this a while ago, probably the first time we were going to talk. So I didn't type in your last name, just your first name, just okay. Hannah Is, and here are the top answers. The first one is, Hannah is a palindrome.
Yeah, I mean, accurate.
That is accurate. Hannah is not a boy's name. Hannah is awesome.
There we go. Yes.
And Hannah is the best.
See, I would take all of those. Fine.
So absolutely nothing inaccurate. It's the very first time we try it. All right.
Yeah.
What's the best piece of professional advice you've ever been given?
I think the best piece is you don't have to know how to do everything. You just have to know what's possible in your space. So I direct strategies sometimes where if I had to do the implementation myself, I would definitely struggle. But knowing what is possible and what kind of digital as a whole is capable of, so you know the potential, is really the most important part.
That's actually pretty good advice. So, and I'm assuming that, and we'll get to this later, that you, like a lot of the people I talked to in the show, kind of fell into SEO on accident. Is that the case for you as well?
100% didn't know what SEO was when I turned up to my first job interview for it.
So then that's actually a great piece of a professional advice for you, all right? And if you weren't doing what you're doing, what would you be doing?
I've always wanted to be a teacher. So I like to think I'd be being a teacher, but I don't think I'd be a good teacher. So my team have said that I'm terrible with patients with them. So on that basis, I'd probably be quite unemployed, but a qualified teacher.
A qualified yet unemployed teacher is what you would be doing right now. Yeah. If you were doing SEO. That's I like that, because I was a teacher for a long time, but it's a job, that's for sure.
That was a diplomatic answer.
That's what I tried to be. Let's talk about what you are doing then. So you are now officially the business director of Found Online. Tell me a little bit about that. What does that mean? What are you doing?
It really means making us just more than a digital marketing agency. Like, there's so many people that do SEO and PPC or both, that we really want to position ourselves as kind of like the people that understand your business, but also have those skills. So really, like, my day to day is like understanding business goals, actually understanding what the cost of sale to them needs to be for all of our activities, and really focusing on kind of a more numbers driven approach to everything we do, and how that will like reach overarching business goals rather than just like your digital marketing goals.
Okay, so that sounds more or less like what you were doing, but just with a slightly higher focus, let's say.
Yeah, and also we just like to change job titles every so often. Keeps it fresh.
Yeah, you got to keep those business card guys in business. How did you fall into this job? As you said, the first time you you interviewed for an SEO job, you didn't know what SEO was. How did you end up in this industry?
I wanted an excuse to stay in Southampton, where I went to university for a summer. So took an internship on with a children's furniture company. And I was like proofreading their website and helping with their copywriting. And I got really interested in kind of how the back end of the site worked. They actually introduced me to the agency that had done an SEO audit for them. And I hit it off with them and ended up working full-time for them from then on.
Oh, wow. Okay. And so what were you originally planning on doing?
Well, I was studying at the time. So I was at university studying politics and economics. So I was convinced I would either end up teaching those subjects or that I would do something in the European Parliament to do with budgeting. I'm kind of glad I didn't pick that path right now.
Well, you'd be sweating a little bit right now.
Yeah. So SEO is great.
Terrific. Thanks for telling us a little bit about that. I think we're going to go ahead and move on now to round two, which is a game of Have You Ever?
Perfect.
So you can play the drinking game at home. I can't see anything. Not there to judge. Have you ever walked for more than 3 hours in a row?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, predominantly, I grew up in vaguely the countryside, and public transport late at night after you've been in a bar is just not an option. So it was always enjoy the hike home.
So where are you living that you have to walk 3 hours to find a bar?
So I actually grew up in Buckinghamshire, which you would think there would be lots of transport available, but taxis stop after 11 p.m. and the nearest bar is 3.5 miles from my house. Plus, if you go to a good bar, you're looking at much further.
Taxis stop working at... Do taxis there understand the purpose of being a taxi?
Yeah, it can't be a great business model they have, but maybe I have a theory that they're... Mm-hmm. being paid by the taxis from the bigger towns to stop, because then you have to pay double to get that taxi to come to your smaller town and take you to the place, and then you have to pay for it to get to you and to get back. So maybe it's a great affiliate scheme.
That's something. That's like, you know, closing down a kebab shop at 11. What's the point?
Exactly.
Have you ever drank liquor straight from the bottle?
Definitely, definitely. We work for a few alcohol brands, so we have quite the extensive bar here, and that is your initiation when you join Found.
Wow. Are you guys looking for any kind of... If I would have known it was so easy to get a job just drinking liquor straight from the bottle, I would have tried that years ago.
I mean, it involves some torpedoing, which definitely isn't something anyone wants to have to do.
No, probably not. Do you guys make it all like Mad Men? Do you put on nice suits before you drink out of the bottle?
Maybe that would make it better.
Something to consider.
Yeah, we've got some new starters this week, so.
There you go. Take some pictures for us. All right. Have you ever been awake for 2 days straight?
Yeah. So I have to travel a lot for work, and I am single-handedly the worst person at booking flights. I book terrible connections. I end up in airports for like 16 hours at a time. So sleep is not my friend.
Aha. Uh-huh. So that's 16 hours in an airport is not very nice.
Yeah, I'm always the one that's delayed, always delayed. But then I'll sleep on the flight. So it's a trade-off.
Yeah, I have a hard time sleeping on any type of transportation. So I can't sleep on an airplane or a bus or whatever. It happens occasionally, but I'm not very good at it. Have you ever shot a gun?
No, but I guess, I mean, growing up in the UK, there aren't that many guns floating about, really.
No, we tried to talk earlier. You were in America, so I didn't know if maybe while you were in the States, you rode in a pickup truck or shot a gun or wore a cowboy hat or something like that.
I mean, my parents are fairly responsible. So I lived in the US actually until I was about 8, but that was kind of pre-gun age. And then I only ever travel there for work, and I just feel like my job wouldn't be that safe if I was caught with a gun.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
You were in Las Vegas at one point, just went out to a range and shot a bunch of things.
Yeah.
There's a lot of desert out there. I don't know.
Get all my anger out.
Yeah. Have you ever lied about your age?
God, all the time. I always make myself older, though. Always older.
Aha. Okay. Why would you do that?
I have a baby face and a baby voice, and I can't shake them, so I'm stuck with this. And clients quite often will imply to ask how old I am. They'll do things like ask what year I was at school and what year I was at university, and then like quiz me on popular music. And I think sometimes they feel a bit more reassured to think they're working with someone a little bit older.
So do you have to do any type of like specific research? Like what song would have been popular during your final year of university or something like that, so you can convincingly lie to them that you're older?
I mean, I pretty much love a throwback anyway, so we're kind of okay in that respect.
You just have to be prepared, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If they ask a question, it could all come crashing down on you.
Yeah.
Have you ever crashed a party?
Yes, definitely. I think parties that you crash are the funnest. Like, it just adds that extra dimension, doesn't it?
Of course, yeah. Now, have you been caught at a party you were not supposed to be at and then been made to leave?
I don't think I've ever been made to leave. I did crash the UK Search Awards a couple of years ago with a gentleman named Johnny Scott. And we turned up fairly towards the end, but as there was all of the free alcohol remaining to catch up with a couple of friends, and the organizers clocked us, but I think they found it almost endearing. We got away with that one.
All right. And then later on, they gave you an award.
Well, exactly. A year later, always forgiven.
Or maybe that's why you won that award.
Yeah. That's the secret, people. Anyone looking for a search award, just turn up. It's next Thursday. You'll be fine.
And we'll all be drinking straight out of the bottle, just so you know. Have you ever been on a blind date?
No, but I'm very picky. So I completely understand why no one's ever tried to make me go on one.
For their own safety.
Yeah.
Okay. And our final, have you ever question, have you ever made money by performing on the street?
Have I ever something on the street?
Yeah, made money by performing, you know, like singing or dancing or...
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you. No, I don't think I actually have any of those talents that would make me money. Like, no, definitely not.
So you've never been a busker?
I would not make a lot of money if I tried.
Okay, good to know. Next thing I would like to talk a little bit about is your public speaking. So I know this is something that a lot of people in the industry end up doing, and something that you do quite a bit. I've watched a couple of your videos. How did you get involved with this part of the industry?
My first boss, Nicola Stott, just in case she ever listens to this, ran an event, and she invited Kelvin Newman to it, who organizes Brighton SEO. And I got fairly drunk, at which point she went, "Why don't you speak at Brighton?" And he went, "Yeah, cool, I'll put you down." And this was before it moved to the bigger venue and before it was a bit harder to get the speaking slots. So I kind of feel like I was tricked into it like that. And then I think there's something about it that's just quite enjoyable. As scary as it is, and as much as I dislike it half the time, it is quite fun to do, and you meet a lot of cool people doing it.
What's the biggest challenge for you getting up there and doing a presentation?
Ooh. A mix, I would say. I get stage fright, massive, massive stage fright. But it's also, I find it really hard to know what content to put out there, whether I do something super technical or talk about content or talk about paid or talk about strategy as a whole. Like, my role covers quite a broad spectrum. I never really know what level to place it at. You don't really want to talk about something really nerdy in a room full of people that have no idea any of the words you're saying.
Considering the audience is the key to any kind of public speaking, so how do you decide which topics to tackle for which audiences? Do you have an idea who is going to be in the audience before you do this? Or do you have to just kind of have a couple of things ready? Do you wing it? What's the plan?
I try and be vague, like very vague of my slides. So then if I know that people aren't following, I can tone it down. And if people look bored, I can talk about something a bit more exciting and a bit more complicated. So I don't tie myself too closely to what's on the slide itself.
I've never really done any type of professional presentations like this. I did a few things when I was teaching where I did a workshop. And I also do some stand-up comedy, but that is obviously without any type of visual representation behind me. So how hard is it to really get over you're not just reading the slide. So you have information up on the slide, but also you're giving relevant information. Is that difficult to get used to, or is that a little more natural for you?
So I don't practice with my slides. So I always write down by hand, like what's on my slides, roughly like the titles. And I practice to the titles rather than practicing to the actual visuals and the writing on the slides, because then I can't rely on just what's on the slide and I have to say something a bit more interesting and a bit different. And it just makes you kind of think for like more detail you could add and how you could make something a bit more engaging. And also it helps that I generally don't practice very much. I know some people like really thoroughly rehearse and have a script. I can't do that because then if I go off script, it panics me. So I'm always kind of winging it. So you never know what will come out.
So how many speaking engagements do you do in the average year?
Oh, I had to actually write this on a document the other day. Last year I did, how many was it? About 18? Just under 20. Yeah, last year was 18. This next year apparently is going to be more, but we'll see about that.
Good luck with that. So how do you deal with your stage fright?
It really depends what time of the day my talk is. So I find several gin and tonics really helps.
So for the ones that don't take place for breakfast, yeah?
Yeah. No. So I got taught a really good thing for focusing your brain when you're panicked and worried. So on one hand, you put your thumb and little finger together and you tap your thumb against each finger in turn. And then on the other hand, you have to do the exact same, but in the opposite order. So you start with your thumb and forefinger. So you're always on the opposite finger and you just keep tapping. And because it uses both sides of your brain, it stops you thinking about being worried. Mm-hmm. Did that make any sense?
That made perfect sense.
Oh. Amazing.
Yeah, I've never heard that before. That's pretty interesting. All right, thank you very much. Which this now means we're going to be moving on to round three, which is the Elephate lightning round. You're going to have two choices. You have to choose one. If you would like to elaborate, you may. If not, we'll move on to the next one. Are you ready?
Yeah.
First question, Home Alone or Elf?
Elf.
Oh, that was quicker than I thought.
Elf is one of my favorite Christmas movies of all time. I've already watched it twice this year.
It's not even December. All right. If I know I was talking to a lunatic, I think I would have approached this conversation differently. Mashed potatoes or baked potato?
Mashed potato.
As somebody named Hannah, which is more annoying, Montana or banana?
Both. Montana.
Who's worse, Tottenham Hotspur or Chelsea?
Tottenham Hotspur. I'm a West Ham fan.
I did this a long time ago. I don't remember who these people are. So Paulo Di Canio or Lucas Neal?
As in who's better or who's worse?
I think better.
Well, Paulo Di Canio, if that helps. He's amazing.
Okay. Oh, I think they're both football players, I think, is this for your, did they play for your favorite team?
Yeah. So Paulo Di Canio is like cult hero for West Ham.
Okay. Now I remember. Paulo was the first non-English captain of the team, and Lucas Neal was the first non-European captain of the team.
Yeah.
That's why I chose those two. It's all come back to me now.
And Paulo Di Canio is now a football manager and is just a ridiculous human. So hours of entertainment from him.
Terrific. Okay. Horror or mystery?
Mystery.
And I saw that you are a fan of tequila. So the Tequila Sunrise or a La Paloma?
Oh, definitely a La Paloma. So Jennifer Hoffman from Deep Crawl introduced me to them, and that is now my go-to drink.
Aha. Okay. I wonder if I asked her the same question. Let me see here. Eton Mess or Sticky Toffee Pudding?
Eton Mess.
Eton Mess. Okay. Deptford Creek Low Tide Walk or Eel Pie Island?
I'm not sure that was even English. Are those places? Food?
I want to say they're places. See, it had to be a place maybe these are two places maybe where you live or where you went to university. Deptford Creek as a low tide walk. Maybe these are things to do in London or Eel Pie Island.
Oh, so I've just done some Googling and yeah, who knew? So geography is not a skill set of mine.
I see.
They're both technically in London.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I'm sure they're both lovely.
Okay. And you have done neither. All right, so I over-researched myself. That's fine. It happens. Concert or play?
Concert.
When was the last time you went to a concert?
Well, that's what I was thinking. I've been to several plays in the last couple of months, and the last concert was probably maybe a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you should get on that.
Exactly. I'll leave the office now.
You can tell them it was my idea. It's fine. Everybody.
Yeah. So we have... Our meeting rooms are glass, and we've got people keep walking past, and they're watching me record it and keep seeing me laughing. And then I'm getting little messages ping up on Slack being like, are you working? Can I come in? What are you doing?
Well, that's good. Hopefully next time we talk, you don't have a different lower title. And welcome to the show, janitor Hannah Thorpe. And our final Elephant Lightning Round question, you have to choose one. Now, these are both, I think, as far as I understand, uncomfortable things to do in London. You may not care because you don't know anything about London, apparently. You have to choose one. Stand on the left side of the escalator or be really loud in the tube.
Ooh, those are both horrible. Mm. Probably be really loud in the tube because there's less chance of someone pushing me dying.
Which is important. When it comes to being out in the public, yeah, not being murdered is
always
nice.
Minimize risk of death.
Yeah, that's I have that sewn on a pillow.
Cross-stitched.
It took some time, but it was worth it.
Yeah.
So that's going to be about it. Do you have any final thoughts or anything you'd like to promote?
I'm probably supposed to promote the agency, but if you want SEO, we're really good at it, and PPC and everything else. But thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the show and actually going successfully for once. So this is...
I cannot believe we made it through this.
Very excited. Hannah, thank you so much for taking the time. I hope you laughing doesn't get you in trouble.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Bye.
You have been listening to Elephate in the Room, hosted by Derek Caraview. Produced by Christian A. Dumais. Music by Giant Monsters on the Horizon. This podcast is a part of Elephate, the 2018 European Search Awards winner for Best Small SEO Agency. Follow Elephate on Twitter at Elephate SEO and on Facebook at Elephate. Thanks for joining us and see you next time.